We're Cynthia Vargavisser and Michelle Walters, co-hosts of Mind Power Meets Mystic.
Our weekly show is here to expand your mind to what's possible,
to uplift your spirits, to move forward with confidence and joy,
and to create a space for your collaboration with the invisible.
Welcome to Mind Power Meets Mystic.
Hey, everybody, it's Michelle and Cynthia. I am Michelle Walters, and Cynthia Vargavisser is here with me, my podcast pal. We are Mind Power Meets Mystic. And today we want to talk to you, because it's spring, about decluttering. Now, Cynthia and I were chatting a bit before the podcast. We have somewhat different approaches and I think ideals when it comes to what we mean by decluttering. And we thought y'all might get something out of thinking about decluttering a little bit more the way Cynthia and I think about it. So, Cynthia, when it comes to spring and it comes to decluttering, what is your why?
I love decluttering in the spring because everything is coming out new and I like having a fresh start. It's also a really good time, you know, in the Bay Area. It's not like we really have seasonal clothing, but we do have some things. And I get to say goodbye to my heavy jackets and my raincoat, maybe, as well as some of my dark colors. And then I bring in the things that I dare myself to wear when you're not supposed to, quote unquote, supposed to. Like today, I tried on my white jeans and I'm very excited to put them on before Memorial weekend.
Or even before Easter, as the case may be.
Is that what it is? I thought it was, is it Easter that you're not supposed to wear white pants before?
I don't know about white pants. Growing up with me, it was always white shoes. No white shoes until Easter. When I was a little girl, we would start wearing our white cardigans on Easter. I don't know. White just came with, I think it's a Catholic thing.
I grew up Catholic, so I'm with you, right? So it's, you know, can't wear it after Labor Day, can't wear it before a certain time.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm all about debunking that. So yeah, I put on my white jeans, made sure that they fit, and put them near the front of my closet so it's more easily accessible. And I just like it because it's a good time to open up all the windows and turn on some music. You might as well just start decluttering and cleaning. What about you? What's, you know, what does the spring mean for you in decluttering? Anything?
I think it's more of a symbol for me in the spring. I am not all that much of a declutterer. I am a person who, frankly, probably lives with more clutter than many people you know. Thinking about that your pants have a special place at the front of the closet. My pants are scattered throughout my closet. Theoretically, they ought to be in a group, but today I discovered my favorite jeans were among the vests, which, you know, is not where they go, but now I know where they are. So they're there, they're accounted for. I am not the most organized person when it comes to my clothes, my house, that kind of thing. All that being said, I do think that there's a lot of symbolic meaning in terms of thinking about the spring and really taking this moment to be like all the plants, all the flowers that are coming out, and really take this moment to value that, to live a little bit more of that in our lives.
Right. Well, I wonder if you and I also have two different ideas about our homes. And it just occurred to me, I know that we talked about other things and what we're going to supposed to talk about, but you know me, throwing the curveball. So you went out camping, and that is a perfect thing to do for spring. Really check out nature, you know, connect and commune. Where I had different reasons. I huddled in and did the spring cleaning. And for me to go into my closet, I'll use it as an example. I mean, I am this kind of weirdo. So you open up my closet, and it is a reach-in closet. It's not a walk-in. You see on the top row are my tops, and they start from sleeveless to long sleeve, and they are by color. So now if they are spaghetti straps in the very front, white to dark, and then the ones with have patterns is the one with the most prevalent color. So, you know, the favorite tropical one I wear that goes under blue, even though that there's got peaches and other colors in there. And then goes the wider straps and then the short sleeves and then the long sleeves. So, I know it's a little bit cuckoo bananas. However, when I open up my doors to my closet, I breathe a sigh of relief and I'm happy because I feel like there's a piece of my life that everything is put exactly where it needs to be put. Now, if you take a look at my jewelry, it's all in a bunch of different boxes, and that's the next thing I'm going to hit up. But for you, your viewing of your home is different. I don't think of my house as a nest. And we were talking about how your house is a nest. So, you know, when we talk about that, what does that mean to you? What does your home mean to you?
Well, I think my homes have meant different things to me at different times of my life. And actually, the place I'm in right now, I don't really think of as my long-term home. Right. It's just where I am at the moment. And I tend to just kind of live in it, kind of by the moment. So you know, might find my purple blouse next to a green pair of pants. Like my closet is not organized that way. But I guess in another way, maybe I also do it a little bit that way because then I'm always being surprised. I'm constantly having little surprises, like the jeans that I hadn't seen for a while that I knew had to be in there. But today I found them. And I do like little surprises. And so maybe that is partly why I don't tend to clean out my purses and I don't tend to clean out things because then I'm, oh, would you look at that? Here's where that thing went. And you know, it's not very practical. I recently lost a lipstick and then went out and bought the same lipstick again. And then I found the lipstick because, you know, I'd left it in a bag somewhere. So it's not always practical, but it does provide me with little surprises. And in terms of nesting, I guess I just kind of like to have a few things near me, things that I like. I don't know. This phase of my life is really a very temporary phase. I don't know how long I'll be in this phase. But I've kind of always led my life like that. It's funny because, you know, my son is 20 and his room is nice and tidy. He has a place where everything goes. Me, not so much.
Well, you know, what's funny though, is that when I visited you in your home in Alameda, it was tidy and it was lovely. It was colorful and it was, you know, and I'm really not about tidy because I'm not a tidy person, but I like having restful places for your eyes. So your house was very restful. And I think that's part of the reason why I like to keep decluttering, because I like to feel rested in my home, no matter where I am. So walking into your home, it was restful and pleasant and beautiful. And so when you tell me that you're not tidy, it kind of cracks me up. I thought, well, you really cleaned up for the party, right?
Oh, I always clean up for parties.
Right.
Well, my son finally got it. I think the last time I had a party, he was like, wait, you're holding this party because it forces you to clean up the house. I said, oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's part of the way I discipline myself.
That's awesome. And you get to be social, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And even when we went down to your office had more things to it and it was still super organized, super and restful, you know? So that's what so when you say that you nest, I find it a little curious and it makes sense because of who you are. You know, I'm a bit more of a butt clencher than you are, really. I mean, let's just be honest about it. I really am. You know that. I make people laugh so they don't think so, but God, I really am.
You have the things that you care about and I have the things that I care about. It's kind of funny because in my home, I feel like, yeah, I kind of let things become a mess from time to time, but thinking about going camping this weekend, I now have my wonderful, wonderful camper van. And the thing about life in the camper van is there's not a whole lot of room for being all that messy. Like right. Everything has a place and you can't let too many things be sitting out. Otherwise, you can't figure out where everything goes. There's just, you know, it's living my life in, gosh, I don't know, 12 feet square or something like that. It's a tiny little space. And I love it. Maybe that too, because it gives me that feeling of nesting. Like everything is very literally at hand, you know.
Right.
You can reach the stove from the bed or the chair. Like it's that close.
Right. Right. I know, I love your camper van. Now here's a funny thing. I love camping. I hate prepping for camping. I hate cleaning for camping. I hate thinking about camping. I actually only like the act of camping. I don't like packing for camping. If you tell me that I'm packing and that I get to treat it like Tetris, you know, turn it in, if I gamify it, then I can go ahead and do it. But I really don't like it. It's, to me, it's like a whole lot of effort for a very short amount of time. So
that's part of the reason why I love my camper van is because now, you know, there's a set of dishes and there's a set of pots and pans and there's where the food goes and there's where the cooler goes. Like everything kind of has its own little place and system. And it doesn't take me that long because the sleeping gear is already there. I don't have to move it from, you know, the garage into the car like you would have to do if you were packing for a camping trip. Right. So, you know, it's like I'm half ready to go.
Right.
At any time.
Right.
Which is a huge improvement. And then when I came home, you know, I loaded all the dishes in the dishwasher and put away the food I didn't eat and emptied out the cooler and put the clothes in the wash. And that was about it.
Yeah, boo. No.
Yeah, but it really wasn't that much, Cynthia. It's much easier with the camper van.
Me no likey.
But hey, probably easier.
Well, let's talk about comfort and not comfort. So the thing about decluttering is I do it when I'm feeling uncomfortable. When I'm feeling like that I have too much, or there's a disturbance in the universe, right? In my personal universe, there's a disturbance. And so I'm going to start decluttering, you know, and so I declutter oftentimes, but that doesn't mean I don't have two junk drawers. I don't have one, I have two junk drawers, and, you know, that I don't transfer to, because, you know, we have that room in the back that's kind of a spare room. It's the energy room, but right now it's a guest room. So there's a little bit of moving around, but you know, decluttering, I believe, is what we do when we're feeling uncomfortable or we know that a shift needs to be made. Do you agree?
I think it's what you do when you're feeling uncomfortable or when a shift needs to be made. I think that my times for decluttering are kind of different. Something I've noticed about you is that when you're sort of feeling on the edge, not sure what to do, if you spend an hour decluttering, you feel better.
Right.
And that's not really true for me. I get motivated to clean out the closet because I have a women's clothing exchange coming up and I need to find some things to bring. That motivates me. So then I'll go through the closet and go, oh, this doesn't really fit. I never really wore this. I don't like this. I'll put the stuff in the bag then. So, you know, it's different things that motivate me versus you. All that being said, you know, I do see the value of a clearer space in terms of having less on your mind. I have parties. It's part of what motivates me to get my space cleaned up. But I find that if I don't create a reason for myself, I am not naturally drawn to decluttering. I think it's just who I am. I think I've always been that way.
Guess what, Michelle?
What?
Where mind power meets mystic.
That's true.
And
I forgot about that. We should tell everybody. Don't you think we should tell everybody?
We are. We are mind power meets mystic. I'm Cynthia Varkavisser, the mystic, and my pal Michelle Walters is our mind power. We are talking about decluttering or not decluttering, about the comfort of who we are in our homes and how we go about it. And I'm having a blast talking to Michelle about this. So let's switch gears. Let's talk about where I'm uncomfortable. So another place where we can declutter right, for springtime is with our schedules, our calendars, our time, right?
Absolutely.
Especially with that GD daylight savings, with that 1 hour that, you know, I swear that we really don't get, you know, we get in October, but we definitely lose in the spring. Yeah, that's to me, it's, that throws me off every time. And it doesn't matter whether we have it or we don't. My calendar, I won't say it sucks. However, I'm really not great at time management. And so I either really overmanage my calendar or undermanage my calendar. What do you do for decluttering or, you know, keeping your schedule? Or what do you have as a suggestion for people like me who, you know, are not friends with their calendar just yet?
I think being friends with your calendar is a constant process, especially for people like you and me who are entrepreneurs and who have so many things pulling at our time. And you got to do this and you got to do that. And you got to see clients and you got to network. And it's a constant challenge. I don't feel like my calendar is as neat and tidy as it could be, but I am satisfied that it is operational. And so I think in large part, maybe why I feel, or your perception is that I am more comfortable with my calendar, is just that I accept it. I do try and block out time for things. Like, I've started realizing if I leave too many times open that I don't have the, you know, long times that I need when I need like an extra long session for a client or something like that. So it's been a little tricky figuring out how to fit it all in and fit in the other things, you know, like exercise and grocery shopping and seeing the doctor, the stuff that you got to sort of fit in anywhere. But I think me, a lot of it is just kind of deciding like, hey, if I'm doing the best I can, what else could I do?
Right. Right. You know what? You're transferring your home onto your calendar. And I realize that I'm doing the same thing with my calendar. Here's the challenge for me. Your calendar or calendars are much more fluid, especially as an entrepreneur, than a home. My home is always going to be in Oakland, California, until I move, if I decide to move. My calendar, you know, may end at 9 p.m., may end at 4 p.m., you know, so, so my challenge of decluttering the calendar is, where are the breathing spaces, right? And where can I find consistency? I'll tell you a really quick story. I used to, you know, I love sports, right? And I played a lot of softball and stuff. So I was one of the more aggressive kids as a preteen. I have a picture as a catcher in my softball league. And one of the moms said, you know, Mel, your daughter is so consistent. You know, how does she do that? And my mom said it to me as a compliment. Well, you know, in my 10, 11, 12-year-old brain, I said, what is consistent? And my mom was young and English was not our first language. And she said, well, you know, consistent means same, not always too good and not always too bad. And then I decided at that moment that I would never want to be consistent again. So that is,
that doesn't serve you very well, Cynthia.
At 57, you would think I want to break up with that definition a long time ago, and I'm still working on it. And I'm bringing it back because I find that as my little Virgo self, I love consistency, right? I love consistency and I love the breaks. So, what would you recommend for us people who are being a little bit loosey-goosey and need to, you know, either beef up our calendar in a certain way or declutter our calendar? I'm asking you for your profession.
Well, I think they're two very different processes.
Okay.
I think that for somebody who wants to beef up their calendar, that maybe it's better to have a specific practice where on a particular time or day of the week, you are checking out your calendar to ensure that the time that you're spending is being spent against your priorities. because it is for entrepreneurs and people in business, but especially entrepreneurs, because there's just so many winds of change all the time. Like evaluating, hey, do I have enough time to serve the people I want to serve? Do I have enough time to be growing my network? Am I doing the things I need to do? Because when you don't have a boss around, it's pretty easy to just, you know, skip, check out, let yourself off the hook, whatever you want to call it for one thing or another. So if you're trying to beef up, definitely sort of taking that pause and looking forward. If you're trying to cut back, actually, when I think about it, maybe it is kind of the same, because it's sort of looking at things from priorities and going, wait, you know, I have 7 networking meetings this week. How am I going to follow up with those people? Like, you have to figure out how to have some sense of balance, and it can be very hard to have a sense of balance. And so unless you, you know, create a practice where that balancing activity is the goal, I would say it's, you're constantly going to get things messed up and overbooked.
So let me ask,
or I guess underbooked, right?
Right. Either way, it's out of balance, right? It's not in alignment. My question is, how would you help? Would it be through hypnotherapy, through executive coaching, because it can be done both ways, or would you do a combo, right?
If I was working with a client, and I have worked with clients on time management before, I would probably, if the real problem seemed to be time management, probably executive coaching is a better framework for it, to at least be able to identify what are the behaviors that you want to continue versus the behaviors you want to change. And then I would layer on hypnosis to ensure that there was sort of adequate subconscious alignment with making the changes that the client had come up with. But those, you know, are you going to, I don't know, make your phone calls in the morning? Do your writing in the afternoon? How do you handle 7 calendars? Those kinds of questions are best answered at first at the, for most people in all situations I can think of right now, would be at the conscious level.
Right. I remember going to school and realizing that I am way better in the morning, and in the afternoon I am a little snuffleupagus, right? A little bit woolly and slow. And if I had to pick something in the morning and, you know, a different subject in the afternoon, my druthers would be to do math, the sharper thinking skills in the morning, and the more creative skills in the afternoon. Two reasons. One is I happen to like writing better, right? And so I'm wondering if drawing on that would help me figure out my schedule as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I was reading this concept in one of the John Maxwell books that I've been reading for my John Maxwell training recently. And I don't remember where it was in which book, but he specifically talks about thinking about your day and what are your, I'm pretty sure it was in the 15 laws of growth, actually. I think it was the 15 laws of growth, and I think it was the law of design, right? So thinking about what part of your day are you most effective? When do you get things done the best? How do you set up your activities in order to support that? So in his book, he says, well, he does his book writing in the morning, and he doesn't meet with people in the morning. He meets with people in the afternoon, because why would he want to give away those best hours of writing that are morning hours?
Right.
That's Maxwell's practice. So for me, there are certain things that I like to do in the morning, and then there's certain things that I prefer to do in the afternoon or evening. I've realized many of my clients prefer hypnosis appointments in the afternoon or even early evening. And so that tends to be the time I use for my clients. Not always.
No, that makes sense to me, right? With the hypnosis, because you're doing some pretty deep work, or at least, you know, something that's really challenging, and then you get to chew on it or recover from it in the evenings.
I was once hired by the spa that I work for from time to time, and they wanted me to start doing hypnosis at 8 o'clock in the morning.
It's like, makes no sense.
No, because you just woke up. I find most people prefer it in the later in the day.
What's funny is that my clients, it tends to depend on the subject. A lot of it they say is their schedule, but here's the truth. If you are really interested in getting some answers and doing some work, you create the time regardless of what time. But what I find is that my clients like to be in the morning and then they're kind of charged up and raring to go. And then they go in the afternoon with some tasks, right, that they get to do at their pace. But then they have, you know, they have their little prescription and then they go. Not as many like to come in the afternoon because it just feels a little bit more draining. So I guess my readings are a little bit more like math, engage a little bit more of the brain. I don't know. I think it's the best way of saying it in my language. So there's that. I think we are pretty much to time, right? This is like way too much fun.
It's very fun. I always love talking to you, Cynthia. We have a great time.
It's so much fun. Is it all right with you if I give a couple pointers for those who are a little bit worried about decluttering, you know, about their home?
Please, you can help them and me.
You don't need help. You are comfortable. And that's the first thing is, if you're comfortable in your home, keep it. You are meant to feel safe and comfy and cozy in your home, which is exactly how you feel, Michelle. And it makes sense, especially with the type of home that you're in, right? It's temporary. It's not long-term. But for those of you who are feeling a little bit sentimental, there are so many different ways that you can declutter. One is that you can, you know, you can recycle or upcycle. So I have some things that I have that I really like that I turn into something else. And I look at them, like I have these crazy shoe stretches, you know, those shoe stretchers, I use them as bookends. And so every time I see them, I crack up because they're just so unusual to have them there, and they work, they function. And so you can do things like that. The other thing that you can do is take a look at the thing that you're not ready to release and see what it is that you really are attached to. Are you attached to the memories of it? Are you attached to the color of it? Are you attached to the shape of it? That is a symbolic thing. So then you can go through the symbology of it and you can, you know, find something else to replace it. And then you can, you know, move off with that. And then the third thing is you can just put it in a different place, right? So maybe, you know, it's a little bit too much for the living room, but then you can go ahead and put it in the bathroom, which I've done a few times as well. So those are my three little tips for decluttering. And also to remember, sometimes you feel like you need to declutter, and really the thing that you want to do is you want to clear your home. So you want to declutter it of energy, right?
That's a whole nother topic. Another day. Yes. One on which you are quite the expert. Well, I want to thank the audience for listening to today's episode of Mind Power Meets Mystic. We'll be back next week with another great episode. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Mind Power Meets Mystic.